right, guys, welcome back. We're going to do one final episode on the whole Ballgate thing. We're going to be responding to an episode that the Providence Perspective put out titled Why Ballgate Should Never Have Happened. They have Warren McGrew on, and they're going to be talking about the issues and some of the things that I said in my episode. I'm going to go through and respond to some of these points along the way. I'm not going to respond. Their episode's an hour and 40. It's not going to be nearly that long. I'm going to cut through and find out the points that I need to, that I want to respond to. Right. So the first and only real good point to cover here in the positive sense, at least half positive. I'll explain what I mean by half positive in a second here. But Drew basically starts the whole episode out by saying, look, I agree with Marlon from Gospel Truth and some of these other people who interpreted what you said in a negative light because it was an offhand comment and it came across in that way. Now, the reason I say this is half good is because Drew's going to go on in a minute here, as you'll see, to try to sort of justify Warren's attempted salvaging. And see, that's where my problem comes in, right? And I documented this in my episode. The attempted salvaging that he did just doesn't work. Okay. It should have been abandoned. And it, you know, if at the end of the day, you were just trying to show that people are accepting hard truths, it just doesn't work. And it was probably the worst way to go about it. But let's hear Drew real quick here.
And I also agree with Marlon that when you said what you said, Warren, it was offhand. It was a little bit careless and it communicated either intentionally. Well, it wasn't intentionally. It communicated unintentionally, and Marlon has clearly misunderstood here. I'm, you know, attempting to be charitable with him and others that have reacted in a similar way here. But he had.
And by the way, you know, I don't know if misunderstood is can even be brought into the picture here. The comment was, "If I have to sacrifice my children, I'm cool with that as long as I get my crops. And likewise, if my child's not elect, I'm cool with that as long as I get in to heaven." Okay, there's no misunderstanding that. Right, that's an attack. It's an assault on the character of the person holding a position rather than the position itself. Period. And I've documented that. So there's not really any misunderstanding going on here.
As misunderstood you to be saying, Calvinists would just chuck their children on the fire. They don't care about their children, and that's offensive. If that's what you said, then that would be offensive. That's what was communicated. So it was, and still is offensive for those that still have that spinning around in their head. And I think the fact of the matter is that very few people are even willing. And I'm not necessarily saying that they should spend time or whatever like that. I mean, if you're going to go on a broadcast and stuff, I think that you probably should. But to listen to clarifications and follow-ups, they're just not willing to. So then this is just reverberating in the air.
Now, I did my episode, and it's funny because they quote-unquote review some things I said. I thought there was going to be a lot more of my episode. There wasn't much, as you'll see. But we did listen to the clarification. I documented it in my episode and why the clarification was bad.
And this is kind of where...
So it's not... It's not so much, well, you know, he's sort of hinting at the whole, well, I just want to be mad thing. Like, we're just not accepting what Warren, quote unquote, really meant. The original intent is unmistakable, and it's not salvageable, right? So we're going to get to that in a second here.
It's landed in where the offense has happened and begun. So I think that Warren misspoke, and I think that, you know, he shouldn't have said it that way. Warren can correct me if I'm wrong or if he doesn't agree
so good
with
for Drew.
Same thing.
All right. But he knows. So that's why halfway, good for Drew. The other half, we're about to get to, okay?
Yeah. And here I've got you playing your first response, Warren, and this is one of your first clarifications that I want to.
Now, I played this. So if you already heard my last episode, you hear this, but we're going to play it again because it's important, because these guys actually think that this quote unquote clarification like flies, that it works, and that we're just being stubborn people and not accepting it. So let's hear it again.
Put up here. We can talk about this briefly, but I guess I just wanted people to hear this so they don't have to.
So this is why I said halfway good job with Drew, because on the one half, he's recognizing how bad of a comment it was. Good for him. But on the other half, he's trying to actually say this is a legitimate salvage.
Do all of their homework and stuff. Even though you're here mm-hmm. and you've given a clarification already, it's helpful to also see this has already been said. So yeah. Here's another.
Hear that comparison for a moment. You have a pagan and they love their bait.
Now, what was the original comment? As long as I get my crops, I'm cool with that. And as long as, you know, as long as I get into heaven, I'm cool with my children not being elect. That's the original, right?
And in profound grief, they toss it into the fire because ultimately they want their God's approval. And if the crops come, well, then ultimately the parents are okay with the loss of their beloved child. Similarly, adherents of infant damnation love their baby and are in profound grief when they see God toss it into the eternal fires of hell because ultimately they want their God's approval. And in the grand scheme of eternity, ultimately the parents are okay with the loss of their beloved child. And there you have it. That's
so,
it's the same mindset, same spirit, same energy.
So you notice it's been changed from I'm cool with that as long as I get X, Y, and Z, to, well, I'm cool, quote unquote, cool with that in the sense of accepting a hard truth, that I'm okay with it because that's just the way it has to be, right? And again, if that's all you're trying to demonstrate, then nobody's going to argue or deny that if we're going to accept the possibility that there might be non-elect infants, that that's a hard truth, and it would grieve us. And it is, we do have to, you know, accept it, quote unquote. Doesn't mean we're cool with it, but that is completely removed from the original statement of Warren and what it conveyed. Completely removed. It's not a clarification. Here's why. There's all sorts of things in my episode that I wish they would have played and responded to. And one of the primary ones was my giving a one-to-one comparison or example with what it would look like coming from a different angle towards them, right? So if I were to say, and I'll just repeat the same example I gave in the last episode, if I were to say that provisionist parents have a spirit of child sacrifice because they believe that God allows children to get cancer. Cancer he could easily stop. He allows them to writhe in pain and die a horrible death. God allows children to get child cancer. And you have a spirit of, provisionists have a spirit of child sacrifice because if one of their children gets cancer, they're cool with that as long as they don't have cancer. Now, again, highly disgusting, absurd, and ridiculous. But that is a one-to-one correlation. It is a direct parallel to the original comment of Warren's, that your mindset would somehow disgustingly be that you're cool with your child getting cancer because at least you don't have cancer. Now, that's ridiculous and absurd. And if I were to try to then salvage that by saying, oh, no, you don't understand. What I really meant was, all I was saying was that you just accept the hard truth that God allowed your child to get cancer. That's all. That's all it was. It, you know, in the same way that now we're talking about child-burning pagans as doing it such in profound grief. They really loved their children. It was just something they felt they had to do. Oh, darn. Well, in the same way, I know you love your child. Even though my original comment was, you're cool with your child getting cancer because at least it wasn't you. No, I know you care so deeply about your child. It's just you accept the hard truth that God allowed your child to get cancer. And that's just the way it is. Are you going to accept that quote-unquote clarification? Of course not. It's bogus. It's ridiculous. It is an embarrassing attempt for me to salvage an originally horrific and stupid argument, analogy, whatever you want to say, right? So that's why I'm sorry, but this just does not fly. Okay, it just doesn't fly at all. It is a failed salvage of a bad thing. And so I would just ask Drew to take my child cancer example, mull it over in your mind, realize how bad it is, realize it's a direct one-to-one with what Warren was saying, and wake up to the fact that this is not a legitimate salvage. Another reason it's not a legitimate salvage is because, again, if all you're trying to demonstrate at the end of the day is that you accept hard truths, even if they might give you profound grief, what does that have to do with sacrificing kids, right? Nothing. You could demonstrate that, and in fact, respectfully demonstrate that we all have hard truths that we accept, right? Is it actually wrong that I'm pointing out that you believe God allows child sacrifice or child cancer, rather? There's nothing wrong in that statement. That's what you believe, right? And we don't fault you for necessarily believing that. We understand it would give you profound grief if your child got cancer, et cetera, et cetera. Right? There's nothing actually wrong with going down that road. It's when I then project that you have a quote-unquote mindset of child sacrifice or spirit of child sacrifice because your attitude would be X, Y, and Z. I'm cool with my child getting cancer because at least I didn't get cancer. That's where the problem comes in. And no amount of clarification is going to fool anybody on our side of the aisle, okay? So I could go on more, but I think I've clearly shown how absurd the attempted salvage of this whole thing has been. And just a, you know, let's have a follow-up comment from Drew here, directly with what I'm talking about here.
I wanted to say that clip that I just showed comes back to people not believing you. So Warren has...
Now, we don't believe that that was your original intention. No way on earth do we believe that. We believe the whole, well, profound grief, and yeah, we care about our children, we want our children to be elect, we want our children to be saved, and we don't have that original mindset that you hinted at, right? We believe that, but what we don't believe is that's what you originally meant, because it's impossible that it is.
We've all said this was about infant damnation, the doctrine of infant damnation, that was the original context. And if you
now, the original context of their discussion may have been, you know, are children elect or not, But that's not what Warren's comment was originally about. He was making an assault on the character of the Calvinists. Period.
You don't believe that? Then I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I'm sorry, Drew. The original comment's there, right? And I've shown and documented how bad of an attempted salvage it is, okay? So this is where Drew's half right to say it was an offhanded comment, shouldn't have been made, okay? Then don't support the salvage effort, okay? Please, don't support the salvage effort. If you're just about the issues, you should have said, yeah, that was a stupid comment, let's talk about the issues, rather than, oh, we should all just accept Warren's ridiculous attempted salvage. No way. Here's another quick comment from Drew.
So we can't talk about it because of the way in which it's been brought up. And I think that this is one of the biggest, you know, this is arguably the shame of consistent Calvinism, this doctrine of infant damnation. And it seems to me that there are spiritual forces that...
Now, he says the shame of consistent Calvinism is infant damnation. As I said in the last episode, there is nothing in Calvinism that necessitates that a single infant go to hell. Nothing. Nothing at all. Total depravity being true and unconditional election being true, it is completely within the realm of possibility that all infants end up in heaven. So it is not quote-unquote consistent Calvinism to have to believe that yes, 100% there are infants in hell. And that's really what they're doing with this whole quote-unquote infant damnation doctrine, right? They're painting it as though there must be. Like if Calvinism's true and you're going to be consistent, there must be babies in hell. No. No, 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 no. All we're saying is, if God decided to do that, that wouldn't be a problem. That's what we're saying. Now, you could think that's horrible and terrible and demonic, as Warren says in this episode. I don't care. But don't sit there and say that if you think that all babies end up in heaven, you're being inconsistent with Calvinism. No, you're not. You are not at all. There is nothing illogical or inconsistent about a Calvinist believing that all infants end up in heaven. Now, the next segment I'm not going to play. You can go listen to their video, which is, by the way, titled Why Ballgate Never Should Have Happened. But let me summarize basically what's going on. The first thing that they decide to comment on with regards to my episode was when I started my episode out by pointing to one of Warren's music videos where he completely misrepresents Dr. White by painting him as saying something that was actually an objection. So Dr. White was reading a letter of objection in the sound clip, and it was clipped and played through to make it sound like it's something he was saying. And the saying was, God forces you to sin and then punishes you for what he forced you to do, or something along those lines. Now, what irritates me is instead of playing my part of the episode where I play that and then I say why this is a problem and I give the context and explain to everybody what is actually going on here, they say, Warren, did you want to comment on that one music video? Dot, dot, dot. And then they just let Warren blabble on and lay the groundwork of what, you know, sounds like a perfectly acceptable thing to do, right? If you have all the information going into it and you know exactly when in the music video Dr. White would be reading this letter of objection, then and only then, which is literally like zero cases, would you even be able to slightly justify that level of misrepresentation? And so Warren just says, oh, this is what I did and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, I left it in the video description. So he just doubles down on what I already pointed out in my episode, which they would have heard if they played, which is, in the video description, it says that a couple of objections were raised to Calvinists. That's all it says. There's no timestamp. It doesn't say James White was reading a letter of objection. Here's when it happened. It's just, oh, some objections are raised. So the average listener who just stumbles upon the video is going to be absolutely clueless as to which part of the video is Dr. White reading a letter, because it was clipped specifically to make it look like it was something he was saying. Like, as I said in my last episode, you can't get worse in your misrepresentation than that, okay? So let's give another example here. Let's ask the Progressive Perspective guys if they'd be cool with this. Let's imagine, I mean, they have episodes all the time. They do live streams every now and then. They take comments, they put them up on the screen, they read them, and they respond. Let's pretend I looked through all their old episodes, and I found a sound clip where Drew was reading a comment, or Eric was reading a comment that was an objection to their position. And then I took that and I clipped it so that it sounded like they weren't just reading a comment. If you didn't know they were reading a comment, it would just sound like something they were saying. And then I put it in a montage of other clips with things they've actually said. And so it all sounds like something they're saying and made it seem like they were saying something they weren't. Would you be cool with that? The answer is no, of course not. That would be a horrific the most horrific type of misrepresentation, right? It's bad enough to clip somebody who's saying something they're actually saying and clip it so that it's out of context. It's worse to clip somebody saying something that's an objection to their own position and paint it as though they're saying it, right? You wouldn't accept that. So let's say some psycho in your chat said, "Provisionists believe that you contribute to your salvation and share in the work and merit part of your salvation," or something like that. And then you were just reading that comment, right? And then you stumble upon a video of mine where I clipped you reading that comment as if you were saying, "Provisionists believe that we save ourselves," or blah, 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 blah. That is filthy stuff, guys, right? I cringe at the thought of my, you know, even thinking about doing something ridiculous like that. And you should too. And you would rightly call me out on that. Now, you call me out on that, again, in this hypothetical scenario, you call me out on that and say, "Dude, that's ridiculous. Can you like delete that video? That's absurd. I've never seen misrepresentation that bad." And I say, "Oh, you know what? I'll just word it the way Warren worded it in what I documented in my last episode. Hey, Drew, do you read the Bible like you read video descriptions?" Which is something Warren said. Did you look in the video description where I clearly said that some of these clips are objections raised to provisionism? Did you read that part? Would you accept that? Like, would you be like, "Oh yeah, okay, cool. It was in the video description. I missed it. My bad. It's no longer a problem." Of course not. You would actually laugh out loud at my thought that putting that in the video description would justify the horrible misrepresentation, right? You'd be laughing out loud at how stupid that is. And yet that's what they did. That's what Warren's doing here. Warren says, tries to use that as a justification.
"Colin doesn't dispute that James White believes God has decreed every instance of child rape."
Of course I don't dispute that, because every Calvinist that's ever existed believes that, right? God is poured in whatsoever comes to pass. If you don't believe that, you're not a Calvinist. You are you could be a provisionist for all I care, but you're not a Calvinist. And this is, again, they continue to sort of think that when they point out, you know, a subset of a doctrine that really touches on the nerves and the emotions, and it's, they can just make it outrageous. It's like they think that they're uncovering something new that we've just been hiding all along. You see, Calvinists, even though we believe that God foreordains whatsoever comes to pass since the beginning of time, we've actually been hiding the fact that we believe that God ordains child abuse as well. We've been hiding that. And Almighty Warren and his band of provisionists bravely come along and unearth it. And now we're just up in arms over it. No, we're not, right? I'm happy to discuss those issues. Nobody's up in arms about that. That wasn't what Ballgate was originally about. But when... Listen, Warren's responding again to my criticism of his music video where he misrepresents James White.
# Grapegate. He doesn't believe that's a problem. He's not even addressing it. Like, Warren, how dare you bring this?
What's there to address? What's there to address?
What's up about James White? You're putting words in his mouth. You're lying. No, instead.
You were putting words in his mouth when you clipped him reading a letter of objection that are things that he does not believe. That's like the literal definition of putting words in somebody's mouth.
It's going, "Yeah, he believes that." But you edited a comment where he was reading a criticism to highlight that he believes this.
Not to highlight that he believes that, to paint him as believing that God forces you to sin and then punishes you for what he forced you to do. That's not what we believe. So you see how he just mixes those two things together? He mixes together the idea that, yes, God foreordains whatsoever comes to pass, which would include child abuse. And he mixes that with, well, the letter of objection, which said God forces you to sin and then punishes you for what he forces him to do. Because you see, Warren's blind. He's blinded by his rage against Calvinism. He actually thinks that that is what Calvinism teaches. And so it's just okay. He doesn't even see it as a misrepresentation.
But you didn't make it obvious enough in his video that he doesn't believe the criticism. He believes what you're actually focusing on.
Yes, that's exactly right. It was not obvious in the video. The video was clipped to death, clipped apart like crazy to make it sound like James White was saying something he wasn't saying. Shame on you for doing that. And I stand by that.
The criticism was...
Now, this is Drew's comment that I have a problem with. The criticism was...
phrased in a way that is true, but that White would not say it in that way. Therefore, you are misrepresenting him.
Okay, Drew. With all due respect, dude, I respect you a lot more than I respect Warren. Let's put it that way. The statement, "God forces you to sin and then punishes you for what he forced you to do," is not the Calvinist position. It doesn't matter how much you don't like Calvinism. It doesn't matter how much you think that's the implication of Calvinism. It doesn't matter. That's not our position. Okay? I've talked in past episodes till I'm blue in the face about how God determining all things does not mean he's forcing you to do things, because logically speaking, for God to force something means that there's a part of it he's not in control of that he has to exert force over against, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to get into that right now. But the point is, that's not what Dr. White or any other Calvinist has ever believed. So I'm a little annoyed that you would say, well, it's actually true. It's just not said in a very nice way. Right? Let's go back to the example I gave. I clip you reading a comment that says, Provisionists believe that we contribute to our own salvation. Right? And I say, well, Drew, you know, that's not really a misrepresentation. It's true that that's what Provisionists believe. It's just not said in a very nice way. You going to let that fly? Of course not. So why are you pulling that garbage here? I don't understand, man. I really don't.
And what I wanted to say about this whole bit is that Colin essentially upfronts his stream with...
This is the icing on the cake. I'm accused of upfronting my stream with poisoning the well.
Poisoning the well and saying, Warren is an unbelieving liar. And now I'm going to show you how he's an unbelieving liar.
Now, I documented it. Go listen to the episode. And I'm reiterating it here. Warren's music video is a gross, disgusting, level 10, 10 out of 10 misrepresentation of Dr. White. And you guys shouldn't be defending it. You didn't even play my explanation of it. That would have been more clear. You just said, hey, Warren, you want to comment on that? And you'll play the clip of the video, but you won't play my explaining why I went through the time and the effort to show that. You just say, hey, you know, Warren, you want to comment on this video? And just let him run his mouth. And along these same lines, here's an interesting comment from Warren.
Right?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Look what Colin has done running to James White's defense. Okay. Oh no, Warren brought up infant damnation. Let's defend James by pointing out the fact and reminding everyone that he believes God decreed child rape too. Like, you're not doing James White any favors here, Colin. Like, you're reminding everybody, not only does he hold one horrendous doctrine, but he holds to many. Like, this is not a favor. Like, James White isn't going to send you a thank you note. He's going to send you a cease and desist. Like, this isn't helping him.
I highly doubt I'll get a cease and desist from Dr. White. You are, again, you're delusional if you think that anybody's hiding, quote unquote hiding, these, you know, the fact that God's determined whatsoever comes to pass, no matter what you want to point at. I've defended that in almost every episode I've done. Every Calvinist that's ever written throughout the ages has said as much. Again, you're in your own fantasy land if you think that this is something that is being hidden from people and you're coming along and unearthing it. Or in the case of what you're saying and I'm doing is I'm accidentally pointing it out. There's no accidental pointing out of anything here. So now they're going to play the clip. And then they're going to stop it without playing my explanation of the whole reason that I brought that this whole thing up, and then just let Warren ramble. So let's hear this real quick.
Floating around us, okay? Tuberculosis, heart disease, every form of cancer, traffic accidents, bridge collapsing, floods, tsunamis, lightning strikes. All these rapes would take place. We do affirm all these rapes. God forces you to sin, and then punishes you for doing what he forced you to do.
When a child...
So there you heard him read an objection, but in the context of his...
And how would you have known it was an objection? Just listening to that. How would you have possibly known? You wouldn't. That's the whole point.
Actual beliefs, you're going, how do you get around it? So I'm showing the disconnect in his apologetic.
You're not showing any disconnect. He's literally trying to justify it by saying, that's actually what they believe, that God forced you to sin and then punished you what you were forced to do. So therefore, it's okay. Like, I'm trying to show that that's what they actually believe and that they can't get around it. That's baloney, dude. It's a misrepresentation, plain and simple. And as I already pointed out, I wouldn't get to quote you guys reading a comment that was an objection and try to justify it by saying, oh no, that is actually what you believe. It just doesn't fly.
And it's like, dude, and Colin goes, well, you quote, I don't have a problem with his belief that God has determined all child rape.
No, I don't.
I have a problem with you treating his reading of a letter in that context to highlight that.
I have a problem with you clipping his reading of a letter and painting it as something that he said. Yes, I have a problem with that. It's called misrepresentation, gross misrepresentation. And there's nothing you can do that justifies that.
You're focusing on the gnat right now, dude. Like, you're straining at the gnat. The dude just said he believes God decreed child rape, and you're going...
As has every Calvinist that's ever existed, believes God's poured in whatsoever comes to pass, which would include child abuse. Every Calvinist believes that, not just Dr. White. And as much as you hate that, and as much as you think that that should cause everybody's emotions to explode, it doesn't give you the right to misrepresent. It doesn't turn your misrepresentation into a gnat or a non-issue.
But you didn't make it clear enough. You know, that not that, but this other thing that's like 5,000 levels beneath that in the realm of importance, you know, it's like...
Oh, see, so literal justification here, guys. Attempted justification of misrepresentation by saying, well, it's just, since this doctrine is so horrible, it's so horrible, it doesn't matter if I misrepresent them. That's literally what you just heard. The doctrine's so horrible that it's not even important that I misrepresented them.
Yeah. Do you...
Yeah, yeah. That's just pathetic. I'm sorry. I'm going to let that stand right then, right there on its own. I wanted to comment on this section here. You're going to hear me, they're reviewing what I said. So you'll hear me talking, and then you'll hear their response. Throws in a couple more quotes, and then talks about how he went on Leighton Flowers' show for 3 hours to address these issues, and, you know, all these quotes from Calvinists who have affirmed this or that. And it's like, what irritates me and why I wanted to do this episode is that they can pull this goalpost moving away from the attack on the character of the Calvinist onto the position and pretend like they've been trying to simply address the position from the start. That's what irritates me the most. And I think I've done enough to document that fact so far. So it's kind of funny. Drew from
So we have a
now listen to this.
We have a grown man going on the internet, hit and record, admitting to himself and to his audience that the reason he did that is because of his emotion of irritation.
Yes. Yeah. Why is that a problem? The entire reason I started my podcast was irritation at bad arguments and wanting to respond to them. Every episode I've ever done was fueled by a little bit of irritation. So yeah, I don't know what me being a grown man has to do with any of that.
And he's goalpost shifting while accusing me of goalpost shifting. Like, I'm telling you, no, my criticism was infant damnation. Leighton came behind me.
He doesn't believe you. He doesn't believe you.
See, I'm the one goalpost shifting by pointing out the original comment and what it actually conveyed and meant. I'm the one goalpost shifting, for real. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but like Leighton even came behind me and said, well, I don't know any parent that would hold X, Y, and Z and like not want their child. And so like we're talking about like parenting and caring and we're noting this, but he doesn't want to hear that.
I don't remember any mention of caring in your original comment. It was, I'm cool with my child not being elected as long as I get in. That was your literal quote.
He's got an agenda. And so then you clarify and he goes, oh, look at them. They're trying to shift the goalposts. Like, no.
Yeah. Because again, you didn't, your clarification doesn't fly, dude. You are shifting the goalposts by pretending you've been about that your original comment was about the issues when it wasn't. It was about the character of the people who hold the view.
You don't like the criticism and you're doing everything you can to bring up videos that I made noting James White affirmed child rape. You're doing everything you can to avoid the issue.
Nobody is avoiding the issue of discussing whether or not there are or aren't elect infants. Everybody is happy to have that discussion, and they have since the beginning of time. The issue was your original comment.
And that is that your doctrine, aspects, I'm going to be the polemical one here, your doctrine is demonic. It is demonic to say that God throws babies into hell. It's demonic to say that God has eternally decreed child rape. That is demonic. It's demonic. It's a doctrine of demons that is completely contrary to the God revealed in Scripture in the person of Christ Jesus.
And therefore, you get to misrepresent people and assault their character, right? That's all we get out of Warren. He really hates Calvinism. He thinks it's demonic and terrible. Therefore, he gets to do misrepresentation, character assassination. And when we respond to it, we're the ones goalpost shifting away from just the issues all along. Now, another thing they sort of brought up, which I knew they would, was my mentioning that I don't believe that Warren is part of the church and that he's saved. Now, if you listen to they didn't play everything I said. They just played that first part without the second part, which is where I basically said, I'm not saying this to be a big meanie. I'm saying it because of conviction that, you know, the view of open theism has moved so far away from the actual nature of God and that we're talking about different gods. That's just my conviction. But they didn't play that part. They just, all three of them, just sort of took the moral high ground and said, oh, well, you know, we don't know who's saved and who's not, and we can't judge hearts, et cetera, et cetera. And then Eric finishes off with this comment here.
I'm not talking about Colin, but I'm just saying in general. I question your salvation because of your behavior. You question my salvation because of finer points of theology. We're not the same.
Now, how can it possibly not be both, Eric, is my question to you. Everybody has to draw theological borders and lines in the sand at some point, right? Now, your borders might be way bigger than mine. In fact, one of my criticisms of provisionism in the past has been how wide their borders are. Their borders are wide open, almost, right? To the theological views that they allow into their camp, and you're still saved and you're a provisionist and everything's fine, right? So my borders are certainly smaller than yours. And if you want to have a discussion about where borders should be and whose borders are too small and why, I'm happy to have that discussion. But don't try to take the moral high ground and just say, well, you're judging people salvation based on theology and I'm doing it based on the actions. I would say it's both. And it has to be both, at least to certain degrees on both counts. Okay. So my question to you is, where are your theological borders? Do you draw any lines in any of the theological sands as to where you have to believe this? Otherwise, I'm sorry, but you're not a Bible-believing Christian. Do you even have borders? Does it make me a terrible person to have borders like that? I don't think it should, but I'm curious on what your borders are. Obviously, open theism isn't one of them because you're sitting next to two of them, right? And I'll end this by saying that they got one thing right. There's one thing I do need to apologize for, and this isn't sarcasm at all. They mentioned my mentioning of the hashtag Never Forget, and they basically said that I was wrong for basically sullying an important event by just bringing it up into this little social media ballgate type of thing. Now, they also were sort of confused as to how old I was because maybe I didn't know what hashtag Never Forget meant. So here's the thing, and this is the honest truth. I did not know what hashtag Never Forget was referring to. And you say, well, how can you possibly live? Look, I'm 35 years old. I was sitting in middle school in class when the towers were falling, watching it on TV with everybody else. However, I didn't have a Twitter account literally until about 3 years ago when I started the Consistent Calvinism podcast. I abhorred Twitter. I thought it was the stupidest thing ever. And for most of the early years, it was. It was a lot of ridiculous stuff. And so all these hashtags, I heard about them on the news. I heard about them through other means. And so Never Forget has just been in my mind. Like, honestly, I'm not lying here. I thought it was like, had something to do with like a black person getting shot or something, like police brutality or something like that. And I'm embarrassed to admit that. So like, you should know that what I'm saying is true because it's embarrassing enough to admit that I didn't even know what that was. And I should have looked into it before I just, you know, I didn't want people to forget what it originally said. And I knew there was a hashtag Never Forget. So I just threw that in there and it was wrong for me to do that. If I could take it back, I would. I apologize for doing it. That's the honest truth. But anyways, I hope people do accept that apology. That was one good point that they made, and I am definitely willing to accept correction on something like that. So that is going to bring us to the end of this episode, and not just this episode, but my commentary on the whole Ballgate thing. I'm not doing any more. I want Drew and Eric to know that someday I'm sure I could hop on their show. We could have lots of fun discussions and some not so fun discussions if you want to get into the issues that you claim or seem to think we're all hiding from. I'm more than willing to talk about those things. I don't know how soon I'll be able to do that because I'm pretty busy. I really had to try to find time to get this out, and I didn't want it to wait too long because Ballgate's already dying out, and if I bring it up like a month from now, it's just going to seem completely out of place. So I wanted to get it out there, get it out of the way. So again, done my best to, I've got convictions on this particular thing. I stood strong on what I thought I needed to stand strong on the way particular people have conducted themselves. And that's just the way it is. So at the end of the day, so we'll be returning to normal episodes for the podcast, whatever normal might mean. I might do a Twitter fun, or I might also, there was another episode, that Provision's Perspective did where they responded to some of the things that I said in one of my Twitter fun episodes that I think I could run through and do some quick responses. We'll try to do that in the next episode. So, with that said, you guys take it easy and remember to stay consistent, my friends. Mm-hmm.